roadmap for 2019. As far as roadmaps go, I mean, some things we know that we're going to do, some other things we don't know yet. Yeah, of course, as everyone is aware here, Osmocom is a collaborative free and open source software project. So we don't really set the roadmap. The roadmap is set by whoever contributes whatever code or other resources. That could be financial contribution, but actually it's much more preferred to have contributions in form of code. This roadmap really covers the cellular network infrastructure at this point. We could say, okay, the E1 interface is also something that's on that roadmap, but it's done because you can then use certain additional BTSs with the cellular network infrastructure. So it sort of belongs in there. What kind of topics are there coming up? We will soon have an SGS interface on the Osmo MSC, and I'll just quickly do the overview slide and then we go into the detailed topics. Inter-BSC handover support in Osmo MSC, inter-MSC handover support in Osmo MSC. Osmo STP is about to become a real STP. We will reintroduce E1 support. We will hopefully finally get around to have an Osmo PCU test suite and therefore have more quality and hopefully also performance in Osmo PCU. Cell broadcast emergency alerting is also on the roadmap, as well as moving the SMSC out of the MSC. So the SGS interface, yeah, there's even some Spanish in there, C. it is a viable option for production 2G deployments these days, of course, 2G alone is not sufficient. People want to have 4G deployed next to it. And if you deploy 4G next to 2G, you have the question of how do those two networks interoperate. And in order to do that properly in many different ways, in almost all cases, you want to have an SGS interface between the MSC and the MME. And that must be introduced. It looks a bit like yet another radio access network to the MSC. So on the Osmo MSC side right now, we support the A interface for GSM and the IUCS interface for 3G. Sort of it's on that same level. And there is then now an SGS interface to an MME. And the MME just looks like some other type of BSC or some other type of RNC. We have to consider that and implement the necessary procedures and encoding and so on. I started with lots of transgressive infrastructuring, with some infrastructure work to create protocol encoders, decoders, and both in TTC and 3 templates for all the messages that we need to send and receive, and the libosmo core part. But what's missing is all the logic to actually do anything with it. So it's basically just tools that are there that need to be interconnected. But that's really going to happen, I'm quite sure, even this year. So it's actually not 2019 roadmap, but still for 2018. So that's on the to-do list right now. What we can then do with the CSFB interface is, circuit switch fallback, haha. So if you don't have Voltaic capable phones and or an IMS core on your 4G network, the MME, to be more specific, can then trigger circuit switch fallback so that if a phone starts a mobile originated call, it actually gets redirected to the 2G core or the 2G BTS and the 2G network and so on, and also SMS interoperability between LTE and GSM networks is achieved over that interface. Inter-BSC handover, as we have heard earlier today, we now have inter-BSC handover in the BSC side in the A interface, but we don't have it on the MSC. That's of course not quite satisfactory, so we need to be able to process inbound handover from one BSC and outbound handover to another BSC, and that requires some architectural changes inside Osmo MSC. I fear it might be rather large architectural changes, but we'll see how well that goes. We did some brainstorming about this too long time ago, so nobody remembers the details anymore, but we still have a whiteboard drawing in the office to keep us remembering what we thought about. So in the end, we will have to have sort of multiple finite state machines per subscriber connection, because there's some state that is persistent for that subscriber while he's connected, and there's some state related to the A interface of the let's say inbound handover process, and there is some other state related to the outbound to the next BSC, and that needs to be implemented. It's the first logical step also towards inter-MSC handover, because the procedures on the A interface are exactly identical. So when a BSC tells the MSC, I need to do an external handover, it doesn't know whether the target BSC will be served by the same MSC or even by another MSC. It doesn't know that. So basically, the MSC needs first to have support for inter-BSC handover, and then inter-MSC is a logical extension to that, something that the MSC is not, the BSC is completely unaware of. Funding for that exists. I didn't mention this here, also for the SGS interface, maybe not complete, but at least we do have some funding on that. Inter-MSC handover, we also have funding for that side, and that has multiple interesting aspects that we didn't have so far in all the other handovers that we have implemented, like inter-BSC, intra-BSC, and so on. Because we have to distinguish the basic and subsequent handover cases, as the original MSC remains the anchor for all mobility management and call control procedures. Because let's say you have a mobile terminated call that comes in through the MNCC interface into one given MNC. So the circuit switched or PSDN or SIP or whatever side of the call will remain at that MSC, even though the mobile station moves into the coverage area of another MSC. So we will actually have two MSCs, or during subsequent handovers, three MSCs that are currently involved in one particular mobile station and all the associated RAN components with that. So it's rather interesting for those who like complicated diagrams. I actually had to take two bathtubs to read through the 78 pages of SDL diagrams. But I find that quite a good way to read specs. You just go in the bathtub and read them. It's going to be implemented. There's also a requirement of because then you basically need to get the voice from the anchor MSC where the subscriber was first to the subsequent MSCs, and that means you need to establish another call that then is bridged in the anchor MSC. And to establish that call, you need to have a phone number at the subsequent MSC. So the subsequent MSC needs to allocate a temporary phone number there on his side, and then a circuit switched SIP or whatever call needs to be established between those two, so that can go on. I'm not going to go into the details. This is just a roadmap and not a technical description of whatever happens. But yeah, that's going to be exciting. The other topic, where funding is, not secured, but almost secured, is to move Osmo STP into a real production-grade STP. So far, we have actually only used it for MTP-level routing. We want to have real support for the SCCP-level functions, such as global title routing, global title translation, have lots of test cases in place to make sure all the functionality works as expected. Basically to use it in a core network to replace existing STPs and to phase them out. We've had a number of inquiries about this already. There seems to be quite a lot of interest by people who want to have fully virtualized core networks, but then they still have STPs where they have some, you know, bulky whatever physical hardware box that does end of life and doesn't have support from the manufacturer anymore and so on. They want a pure software implementation that they can virtualize and just, you know, run in containers and so on and so on. And there doesn't really seem to be much available And so, yeah, we had some interesting inquiries in the past, but never really followed up through with an actual implementation on that. But now it's pretty clear that we are going to do this and add also support for M2PA. That's a SigTran dialect that's used quite a lot between STPs. So yeah, some core network stuff, but not on the GSM-related upper bits like MAP and TCAP, but really on the actual SS7 and SigTran side below. Yeah, then also we are reintroducing the E1 support. The NITB supported Ericsson, Siemens, Nokia, and other, I think some other circuit switched BTSs using E1, T1 interfaces. Actually, all the code is still there in Osmo BSC. The problem is that the media plane has moved out of Osmo BSC into the media gateway. So now, for signaling only, you should still be able to use an E1 BTS with Osmo BSC, but you wouldn't get any voice to work because the media plane handling has changed completely. So that means we need to retest the signaling side to make sure it still actually works. And then we need to introduce actual TDM user plane support in Osmo MGW, which means that Osmo MGW will then open those time slots on the ISDN link which relate to voice data, and Osmo BSC, as it is already doing, and as Osmo NITB is doing, opens the signaling time slots on the ISDN interfaces. There's no funding for that, but I think it's really important to get to the point, like the inexpensive E1 interface, to be able to recycle lots of surplus decommissioned base stations that are basically available for very little money these days. Whether anyone will in the end use that, I don't know, but at least I think it's one of the many options that you have to do low-cost deployments in some cases, and we should facilitate that. Also, it's sort of our heritage, and yeah, we don't want that to go away. On the Osmo PCU side, 2017-18, we have seen there was a lot of testing that had been introduced, but unfortunately not on the PCU side. So we have no test suite against Osmo PCU, and as I explained, the problem is that we actually have to implement a significant portion of the RLC MAC layer procedures on the UE side in the tester before we can actually test Osmo PCU properly. Yeah, funding side is not so clear, but yeah, it's something that has been lacking for a long time, and it's actually rather urgent in a, can I say, from a project point of view, but it's not something that we've seen a great enthusiasm to support in any way, whether in form of code or financially. Another area that I find personally quite interesting is cell broadcast and emergency alert. And actually, since it's something that really is about potentially life-threatening situations, also something where I think funding should be possible. So I actually sent two proposals out, or rather I responded to two funding proposals of different institutions, whether they would want to fund the development of related features in the OsmoCom stack. Already in 2014, we showed a first proof of concept for sending, that was for fun, of course, presidential level alert messages to all the phones that were registered at the event network. In the end, it's just cell broadcast with some specific messages inside and a special paging message. And the required changes or the required CBCH physical channel is already implemented in Osmo BTS, and it also recently has been retested, and bugs have been fixed. But what we don't have is all the higher layer infrastructure. So the BTS can do it, and on the BSC we have a VTY command where you can put a hex string what kind of cell broadcast measures should be sent to one particular BTS, and then it's going to be sent once on that BTS. But we're missing all the scheduling logic, all the logic to handle the geographic scope of messages, because if there's an alert message, of course, it's not relevant to a larger network. It's only relevant maybe to one particular part of the network. So we need to figure that, like the BSC needs to figure out to which BTSs to send it. And there are some protocols and even a network element, the so-called CBC, the cell broadcast center, that needs to be implemented there. So we don't have the Osmo CBC, a cell broadcast center, and we don't have any code at all for 3G service area broadcast, even though the Nano 3G, for example, which we use, has implemented that, and we would simply have to add this protocol to the code base. So let's see what will happen there. For those who are not familiar with cell broadcast and with these wireless emergency alert systems, the key advantage here is that you can get a message to all the subscribers instantaneously, like literally with we're not even talking about seconds here. And you get that message to all the handsets rather than point-to-point SMSs where you would have to send it first to subscriber A and then to subscriber B and then to subscriber C. And by the time you reach subscriber C, your earthquake warning advance period has expired, and then you have alerted three subscribers in your network. And that's not really useful in case of natural disasters. And there's the Japanese ETWS, the Earthquake and Tsunami Warning System, uses cell broadcast, and the US Wireless Emergency Alert System uses a cell broadcast, not just for presidential level alerts, which are so important that a phone must not permit to suppress these alerts, but also for all kinds of other alert, like child abduction alerts and natural catastrophes. Also in Europe, there is EU alert. In Germany, we have never heard of that. However, in the UK and in Netherlands, this is actually deployed. It's called UK alert and NL alert, very innovative. So they also have respective systems in place. And I think it would be really good to have that deployed. We also heard that in the context of the Open Cellular project, there have some grant, some people basically have been awarded a grant who are actually doing earthquake warning systems with sensors and so on and so on. And as part of that, they also want to deploy one of these Osmocom-based GSM networks there. And it would, of course, also be great if they could then do the cell broadcast based alerting, because everything else is basically taking too much time. Yeah, SMSC outside Osmo MSC, I mentioned this earlier today. Vadim has been working on this. We have had some discussions, and there is some early code about some new messages in GSAP to do this. I don't know what's the status at this time, but it is certainly something that's going to happen. Then from the user point of view, I mean, there's just one more process to run. It's not really something new with all the disaggregated NITB work. So you run your Osmo SMSC or whatever the name will be next to your Osmo MSC. It will still have SMPP that you can connect to. It's just that it will talk with GSAP with other network elements, but that is really to the user, it's not really relevant. The advantage of then having that is that you can use other MSCs, other SMSCs once you actually go for GSAP to MAP or GSAP to diameter gateways or things like that. So in terms of the general attention, I think what is obvious by now is that the next year will mostly be core network related, aside from the PCU. Right, in 2007, 2018, we did a lot of stuff on the radio access network side. We there's all the Osmo TRX changes that Pao had spoken about. We have all these inter-BSC handover stuff, load-based handover, A over IP, LCLS. These are all RAN features, but now the attention seems to be moving more towards the core network, as the inter-MSC handover is an MSC feature, the SMSC externalization is an MSC feature, STP enhancement is clearly a core network feature, and so on. let's see in 1 year how that actually this turns out. But at least as from the moment we see that kind of pull in that direction. My personal wish list, well, we still have the long-term dream of having some kind of new configuration management system to replace VTY and control interface and to unify all that, of course, in a backwards compatible manner. That's just some ideas at this point, and it's certainly a rather large change, but it would be very good to have to unify that further. We definitely want to have TTC and 3 tests for 3G. So all of the automatic testing I was talking about earlier is all 2G only. We don't do 3G automatic testing. There's nobody who has any interest in that area so far, so that's why it's not done. GSUP to diameter gateway I would find rather interesting to do. Because that, again, together with CSFB, really means you can run a fully integrated 2G and 4G network. So the setup would be something like SRS LTE on the eNode B side, you run Next EPC in the core, you have SGS between the two, and then you have one shared subscriber database. By having a diameter HSS, for example, that's a part of Next EPC, and you don't have Osmo HLR, but you bridge the GSUP to diameter to share this subscriber database at that point. Which also means integration work with Next EPC. Mon could, for example, work on SGS on their side, because there's also no implementation of that at this point. Osmo Media Gateway transcoding support I find also rather interesting and nice topic. As Philip mentioned, it's actually rather unobtrusive at this point to add it. I have some ideas on how to actually optimize the codecs for Neon. And that would also be an interesting project, but yeah, that's just a wish list. I don't know if or when that will ever happen. And Osmux and SIPs, which you SIP between MSCs, which ties into what Keith has been saying. So, yeah. I'm sure everyone else has their own personal wish list, but I hope we can at least implement some of those items. As I mentioned, there is sort of the question if and when and how we should get more involved in LTE-related projects. Right now, from the Sysmocom side, we still see that all of our customers are basically funding development of 2G stuff with a little bit interest in 3G, but basically zero. I mean, we sometimes get the odd inquiry, but there's almost no customer contact that relates to 4G. I think at some point we will reach a point where 2G is no longer something that's going to be interesting, and we have to see what to do and where to move and what kind of other areas to involve ourselves before basically nobody will have any interest in 2G anymore. I mean, it's what we're seeing also from the researcher and hacker community. They don't have so much interest in 2G anymore. So there's no or very limited amount of contributions in that area. There are other projects that do LTE-related developments in open source that are not related to Osmocom in any way. I think one idea could be to actually start contributing to those projects. And as I said, maybe SGS would be an idea to work on the MME side, since we are going to do the MSC side anyway. And that might be an entrance into that area. Yeah, your roadmap, of course, everyone can put their features and priorities on the roadmap, but then somebody has to do the work. So contributions, as I said, are always welcome, as is funding, and always in motion the future is. So that brings me to the end of the roadmap, as far as it is visible or foreseeable at this point. Any questions, comments, feedback?
Hey, question about the PCU testing suite. Do you see that as connected to the other work that, so we recently, as you know, well, actually you all applied for funding for working on the data side of things. Do you see that as being part of that or as being
separate? Yeah, for sure. That is definitely something that would fall into that. I mean, I've only included, if I stated something funding secured or whatever, I only put in where it's actually clear at this point. Or, you know, to me personally, I have the feeling, yeah, this is, I know the people and it's like 99.99% sure or already clear. But yes, there is some discussion to get also, of course, the data capabilities improved. I mean, for sure, also as if you heard yesterday, also Anthony said, you know, the PCU is sort of something that they are interested in and that he's interested in supporting. So there is certainly some support from there. I don't think that that alone will be sufficient to cover the relatively large task, but if we can pool some interest from other entities and other sources, we can do it.
Okay, thanks.
So it's kind of a trivia thing, but maybe you know, with Cell Broadcast, is it possible to have the user interact with the Cell Broadcast message? Or would that be only with USSD?
It is not possible. It's a pure broadcast service.
There's no response. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you can then, you can write in the Cell Broadcast, you know, dial whatever, *243 hash if you want to respond to this or whatever. Yeah. But it's not a Cell Broadcast service anymore at this point.
Yeah. No, I know a mobile operator that pops up messages on the screen. While you're typing or while you're doing something, and they tend to say things like, click OK to buy X amount of data, when you already have an unlimited data plan and you inadvertently hit OK as you don't even get a chance to see the message before you've pressed the screen.
That's not broadcast.
That's not broadcast.
That's network-initiated USSD, most likely.
Yeah, I thought so.
So what Vadim has been talking about. So with the network-initiated USSD, you can do these kind of things. That's not a cell broadcast service, to my knowledge.
Okay. Something else I might as well ask it was on the stream, if it's okay. The initial talk, I think you mentioned Osmo GSM Amp, it's Sylvain's 2-watt amplifier project, and I don't find any information on it. Quickly on
Osmo BTS amp.
Osmo BTS amp.
And I think if you look for that on the wiki, you will find something. And Sylvain has designed it. So it's also in a Git repository. If you look on git osmo.com.org, I'm not sure if it's a separate repository or it's in the small hardware.git or in the BTS accessories.git. It's okay. Definitely BTS out there amp. And the design is there. It's a small 2-watt amplifier with 5-volt DC input, optional LNA in the uplink. You need to cool it though, of course, and you need to worry about the harmonics that come out of it in terms of filtering. But otherwise, it works.
I'm sorry, it's not a kind of question, but it's kind of response to the initial question about interactive CVCH messengers. And if you would like to make your CVCH messengers interactive, you could actually implement your own CVCH client, I mean SMS cell broadcast client, and handle them, for example, on SIM card, as an applet and a SIM card. This is what I exactly recently discovered in some commercial network. They actually broadcast some messages, and you can click on it and subscribe to some paid service. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but that means you have to issue your own SIM cards.
And SIM applets also.
Yeah. Okay, any more questions? Comments? No? Okay.